If you know the work of playwright Donald Margulies, and as a Cincinnati theatergoer you probably should, you'll be surprised by the next production at the Cincinnati Playhouse of his show called Shipwrecked, an Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont, as told by himself. The script is a rollicking, family-friendly tale that celebrates the magic of theater and imagination. Margulies is better known for more serious works, including the 2000 Pulitzer Prize-winning Dinner with Friends, and other dramas such as Sight Unseen, Collected Stories, and Time Stands Still, all of which have been presented locally at Ensemble Theater of Cincinnati. Shipwrecked is the fantastic story of a would-be explorer from Victorian England on a daring expedition. He's marooned on a desert island, and from that point his breathless tale grows larger and larger, and the boundary between truth and fiction blurs. Margulies conceived of the show as something that would be very simply told with minimal scenery and just a few actors. In his notes, he stated that this show is about the very nature of artifice and storytelling. He wanted audiences to see the mechanics of theater, including sound effects made on stage and costumes that, as he wrote, would seem as if children had raided their parents' closet for a game of dress-up. Playing an important role in telling this story is Anna Goller, who is the props manager at the Cincinnati Playhouse. She's here to tell us a little bit about what she's been up to as Shipwrecked was readied for audiences. Let's start with a little bit about what a props manager is, Anna. Can you tell us a little bit about what your sort of the broad description of your job is at the Playhouse?
Sure. Basically, we deal with all the stuff on stage. Anything that is not a wall, anything an actor can pick up, but that is not worn. How I like to explain to people is that if you took your house and you're able to tilt it sideways and shake really, really hard, anything that falls out that is not a costume or clothing is a prop. And that includes your pets and your food.
Okay. You've been at the Playhouse for 6 or 7 years now, I believe. Have you ever worked on a production quite like Shipwrecked?
We actually did. My first season here, we worked on Around the World in 80 Days, which was very similar. It's an epic tale done minimally, as the playwrights like to put it. But we find in the props department is once the sets get very simple, our job gets very difficult.
Yeah, so it's minimal but really requires a lot of invention on your part.
Correct, yeah, there's a lot of artistry.
So how did you go about preparing for Shipwrecked? Now, I've read the script, and while it tells the story, it doesn't say, okay, now here you need this thing or that thing. So how did you go about doing that?
Well, the design team, they're the brain trust, and they get together and they come up with a conceptual idea. The tagline that they were using was Victorian Etsy. So we did a lot of research on Victorian-type things, machinery, etc., just to kind of figure out how things would work, because much like you said, we want to see the mechanics of everything.
So I read a little bit about this and said you work a lot with found objects for this. What does that mean?
Well, the idea is that Louis and his two actors are helping to tell his story, and they have found stuff around a Victorian theater, which is what the space of the Shelter House Theater is made to look like. So the idea is that they become Aborigines, and so they have found some bits of feather and some string and some random grass, and then in theory have tied stuff together to make their costumes and props.
Okay. And there's only three actors doing this, and there's like, I don't know, dozens of roles in this. So there's one actor who plays Louis, mm-hmm. and then two other actors, a male and a female, who play everything else.
Correct. Along with playing all of the characters, they also have to change their own clothing, which we usually have at least two people, if not four or more, helping with that. They also have to run and hide and get all of their own props, which we usually have at least two or three people helping with that, as well as moving scenery around, which we usually do with automation. So the two actors who are helping Louis should definitely get a huge round of applause.
On some productions, does someone like you working in props, are you backstage handling things, making sure things are where people need them?
Well, myself and three other crew members, we build the stuff. And then we have a wonderful team of people who are in charge of running the shows and making sure everything is exactly the same way for each performance.
What I'm understanding you, though, as you're describing this, is that much of the materials that the actors are working with are on stage or just right where they can grab it immediately off stage, something like that.
Correct. We still have crews backstage making sure that all the things get set before the show and then they're ready for handoffs. But the actors are basically on their own on stage the entire time.
Okay. And the play runs without an intermission, I believe. So everything sort of has to be where it belongs when you start the show.
Correct. Yes, there's a very, very long preset list, as we call it, to make sure everything is in exactly the right spot.
You mentioned doing research, and I understand that this play is meant to be set sort of in the Victorian era. What sorts of interesting things did you learn as you looked at your research about Victorian theater that would be different from what contemporary theater goers recognize?
Well, we tried to use a lot of original theater conventions. One of the main things of the original conventions that we're using on stage, like you'd mentioned, is the Foley art, creating your own sounds and using your own stuff. Actually, that's where the term properties comes from, is that originally actors had to provide their own costumes and their own supplies on stage, so that was their own personal property. We did a lot of research in just trying to make sure they had correct feeling to it. So there's a lot of modern devices on stage that we have tried to give a Victorian feel just because they helped move along the show and were the proper item.
And when you say give them a Victorian feel, does that mean that you do some things for the look of the piece? Maybe you make it look more antique or something like that?
Correct. Some of the things we actually have to build from scratch, because we have stuff in stock that is 100 years old, but because of what the actors are going to do, it's not going to hold up to the rigors of actors on stage. So we will recreate things and try to give the same feel. We'll give stuff age and patina. We'll try to use appropriate hardware and try to be as authentic as possible, mm-hmm. because having things on stage that feel correct then keep the audience in the moment of the play.
The actors are also producing their own sound effects, is that correct?
That is correct.
And are you responsible for creating the devices that they need to make those sound effects?
Yes, we have a combination of things on stage that are objects as they are. For example, we're using an egg beater, just as an egg beater, but the sound that Lindsay, our sound designer, was hoping that it would create is the metallic feeling of moving machinery, so like bicycles running across stage. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that we've created specifically for creating sounds. One of them is this creaker, which we did a lot of research on, and we found schematics of how to build this thing to create the sound of creaking wood and rope. And so when they're on the ship, they're using the creaker to get that feeling of the big old wooden ships creaking.
Yeah, and that's visible, though, and we see. So one of the actors is working this while the action is going on.
That is correct.
Yeah,
the Foley table is out on stage the entire time, and so the majority of the objects that they use to create sound effects are broad view of the entire audience the entire time.
Why are they called Foley effects? Do you know, did Mr. Foley create them? Or?
Actually, yes. Huh. There is a guy named Jack Foley from the late 20s, and when movies turned into talkies, they found that if they recorded the film and then recorded the sound separately, that it created a better effect. And he was the guy who kind of was clever enough to go, hey, I think I can make walking footsteps and, you know, gunshots and breaking glass. And so he was the one who kind of initiated that. And we've all just been trying to copy him ever since.
So we still remember him today. Isn't that great? I have to imagine reading this script, you came up with like dozens, if not hundreds, of ideas and things that you might make use of in this. Did you at some point have to say, well, we can't do everything, we have to narrow this down?
Yes, and actually, Lindsay Jones, our sound designer, came up with an initial list of, hey, let's try to use these items. And we also provided him with just a box of random sound effects to see if they wanted to try anything else. So fortunately, Lindsay kind of had a soundscape in his head already of the types of things that he wanted to hear on stage. So luckily, we had a list to start with as opposed to come raid our sound and instrument supply.
And then I also have to imagine that some of the, I don't know, the filter, the overlay that you used in deciding what to keep was that you want the audience to use their imagination as they are watching the show. So you don't want to give them everything.
Oh, definitely. The joyful thing about the show is the fact that it's going back to simplistic original theater, where theater is created in the mind of the audience. And so one of the wonderful things that we have over movies and television is the fact that we are allowing the audience to use their imagination and through sounds and a few pieces of cloth, create the boat as opposed to us digitally showing you this is what the boat is.
Well, if those of you who are out there listening would like to bring your imagination to the Cincinnati Playhouse and be part of this wonderful production of Shipwrecked, this is the opportunity for you to do so. The Playhouse's production has been in previews this weekend. Its official opening is Thursday night, and it continues through June 16th. You can find more information about the show and the Playhouse by going to WVXU.org. My guest this evening has been Anna Guller, who is the props manager at the Cincinnati Playhouse, and her magic will be on view and making noises in the upcoming production of Shipwrecked. Thanks for being here tonight, Anna.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.